Warm greetings, friends, near and far. The Lord Jesus Christ be magnified forever and ever. His loving kindnesses, tender mercies, and compassions are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. His mercy endureth forever. This is Sinner Saved coming at you with the following short evangelistic gospel message, which is sponsored by Preacher Wayne Boyd and the Brethren in Christ at First Baptist Church, located in Almont, Michigan, USA. And God willing, this broadcast will reach you, Lima Charlie, loud and clear. It is my hope and prayer unto God Most High, the only Holy Father, that His only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, the Lord our righteousness, be greatly exalted, that His everlasting gospel be clearly proclaimed, that the pride of mere flesh and blood men be humbled, and that His elect saints be greatly encouraged and comforted in these evil and perilous days. Please consider having paper and pencil handy to jot down the scriptural references for your own follow-up study. And so we begin with the weekend gospel message to follow for all hands. Heads up! Please find enclosed encouragement in so great salvation by the perfect and finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ in saving poor, needy, and wretched sinners by His sovereign free grace. That is to say, Almighty God in His unmerited favor to save me and you from our sins and from hell. The following, friends, describes a group of Jewish folks that approached the Lord Jesus Christ about a certain Roman soldier, a centurion. As it is written in Luke 7:5, "For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue." What a very interesting character is given, though but in few words, of this honest centurion. Though unconnected with Israel and a Gentile, yet he loved the Jews. Was he, like another Rahab, partaker of the faith, and though unconscious of it, had a part in Jesus? It is most blessed to behold such rich provisions and grace, making way for the calling of the people, both Jew and Gentile, in the plan of redemption, given in Christ Jesus before the world began. But we must not stop here in our view of the centurion. He not only loved the Jewish nation, but gave proofs of that love in building them a synagogue. Surely nothing short of grace in the heart could have wrought such acts of love and affection to Israel and to Israel's God in a Gentile mind. But while admiring this gracious conduct in the centurion, and admiring still more the blessed author and giver of that grace which wrought it in his mind, is it possible not to have the affections instantly and irresistibly directed to thee, thou blessed Lord Jesus, who, as far as light transcends darkness, or the heaven is higher than the earth, surpasses every other pattern of excelling charity? Of thee, thou dear Redeemer, it must be truly said, thou lovest our nation, and hast built us indeed not a synagogue only, but art thyself our dwelling place forever. For thy love brought thee from heaven, prompted thee to live for us, to die for us, to rise again for us, and to take possession for us of the glorious tabernacle, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Yea, Lord Jesus, thou so lovest us as to accomplish this vast, this wonderful, this never before heard of undertaking, and never more to be undertaken, of laying the foundation in thy blood. My soul, what wilt thou render to the Lord for all his benefits? O, take the cup of salvation and call upon his name. Tell the whole world how he hath loved and how he hath founded Zion and is and will be her king forever. Now, from preacher Robert Hawker. The ultimate end or goal of redemption is not the happiness, well-being, or even conversion of sinners, but the glory of Almighty God. Ephesians 1:6, and also Ephesians verses 12 through 14 of the first chapter. Sorry about that. Man's comfort and safety is not the supreme goal of God's glorious gospel. The supreme goal of our gospel is the glory of God, the establishment of his rule and reign over a kingdom of peace and righteousness, the exaltation and manifestation of his character, and the preeminence of his beloved Son. Our salvation will serve that purpose. simply see Philippians 2, verses 6 through 11. Everything in covenant mercies, in salvation, and in God's purpose for the sons of men, past, present, and future, turns upon the will of God in Christ. This makes Christ the principal figure in our gospel, our goals, and our glory. But if you have salvation and God's purpose waiting upon the so-called free will of the creature, then man is the principal figure in your landscape and will lead you to compromise divine truth in order to win man's approval. The attitude that we must get men converted at any cost in compromise usually winds up costing the very character and truth of God, which is a price too high to pay. Conversions are never more important than truth. Truth is always more important than results. As it is written, let God be true and every man a liar. That was from preacher Henry Mahan. Trusting God. Most of us don't know God well enough to trust him. Are you persuaded that God is complete control in reference to the things which excite our anxiety? Are you persuaded that he will use this control in the best way as far as we are concerned? If I am to cast my cares on him, I must know him to be my father. I must know him to be my friend. I must know him to be my protector, my shepherd, my guide, my righteousness, and my salvation. I must believe his testimony that he loves me for Christ's sake. He careth for you. It's a small thing for God to care for us. He provides for the cattle on 1,000 hills, all the wild beasts, an army of birds, fish, and insects. Your needs and mine are scarcely a crumb from God's table. If he says, I will care for you, then he will. That was from preacher Scott Richardson. Following is a hymn of praise to the tune of This Is My Father's World, and the words are by Jim Bird. Thy people gather now, O God of ancient days. Before thy throne we humbly bow and lift our hearts in praise. Each benefit we trace to thee, dear Lord above. Accept our thanks for sovereign grace, for everlasting love. We praise thee for thy Son, for us he came to die. He bore the wrath of God alone, justice to satisfy. He rose to die no more, ascended to his throne. He rules and reigns forevermore. Through him thy grace is shown. Accept our gratitude, our praise to, O Lord, receive. We plead Christ's blood and righteousness, and on his name believe. May grace now be applied to sinners lost undone. For such the Son was crucified, and full salvation won. Thanksgiving for the gift. God has so blessed us, undeserving sinners, that should an unending stream of thanksgiving flow from our hearts to the giver of all gifts, yet even that continual praise would not be enough to pay the debt of gratitude we owe. Each day is filled with the goodness of the Lord. Every hour God is richly blessing us. From James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. No matter who you are or what your station is in life, you are well provided for by your Creator and Sustainer. You and I have it far better than we deserve. In fact, I boldly say that no matter our physical condition, anything this side of hell is mercy. While the temporal gifts of the Lord are wonderful, they pale in comparison with the Lord's spiritual and eternal gifts. When we think of his spiritual and eternal gifts, the greatest of them all, and the very foundation for all other eternal gifts, is God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul instructed the Corinthian believers concerning their financial gifts to the work of the ministry, he reminded them of the gift of all gifts and said, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." 2 Corinthians 9:15. Unspeakable means a wonder beyond description, which is unsearchable and past finding out. As we read in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Consider the infinite dignity of the gift who was given. God gave him his only begotten Son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
John chapter 1, verses 1 and verse 14. And think of the glorious reason for which the gift was given, to save his people from their sins. Matthew 1, 21. The Father gave his Son to be our surety in the everlasting covenant of grace, and in time he gave him to be the sacrifice for our sin, so that God might be just and justifier. It is written that God spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. Romans 8, 32. Every child of the Lord finds an abundance of reasons to join the apostle and cry out, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let me remind you of one more thing as we contemplate the gift of God's own Son. Christ Jesus was the unspeakable gift, who was given freely. We did not seek this gift. We did not ask for this gift. We had no interest in this gift. We were not seekers of this gift. And were it not for the effectual grace of God and the Holy Spirit who made us to know our need of Christ, we would never have received this gift as our prophet, priest, and king. To say we were undeserving of such a glorious gift is to state the obvious. What shall we say to these things? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. That was from preacher Jim Bird. The Ark of Safety. As Noah prepared the ark, he preached to his generation. 1 Peter 3:18 through 22. They refused to hear, to repent, or to enter the ark. Yet Noah believed God, and when the ark was completed, before one drop of water fell, he willingly entered the ark. Genesis 7, verses 1 and 5. There is a decree of God in an everlasting covenant of mercy in Christ ordaining the salvation of a number which no man can number. Christ calls them my sheep, given him by the Father. They are redeemed by him and called to him by his Spirit. Yet, like Noah, they hear, believe, and willingly come to Christ, their ark of safety. By faith they do enter into Christ. The rest of Adam's race, though warned, though preached to, and though commanded to repent and believe, will not enter. John 10, verses 24 through 30. The flood is not a fiction. It is a fact. The ark is not a myth. It is a fact. And as the means of deliverance from the judgment of Almighty God against sin for this man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, the ark is a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we are delivered from God's eternal wrath against sin. Reference John 3, 35 and 36. Another one from preacher Henry Mahan. It is written in Isaiah 45, 22, where our Lord Jesus Christ commands, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. And the Master also says in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Friends, it is imperative that you flee to Christ Jesus today, not tomorrow. For none of us are promised another day on this planet. Today is the day of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord while he may be found, and seek him while he is near. Only by being in Christ, the ark of our salvation, may we be delivered from the fierce wrath of Almighty God, which is coming soon upon the wicked. This about wraps up this evening's broadcast. I trust Almighty God is in the process of awakening his sleeping elect and drawing multitudes of men, women, and children around the world to his only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, the Lord our righteousness, Yehovah Tzidkenu. Bless the name, Baruch Hashem. If you are led of the Lord to contribute funds to sponsor future shortwave world band radio broadcasts, then please go to WWCR.com and get their address to send donations. Please remember to indicate that it's for the Storm Warning broadcast. That web address one more time, WWCR.com. Of interest here is that there are hundreds of millions of poor folks that do not have computers, laptops, tablets or smartphones, but they do have old-fashioned, inexpensive radios, and that's how they're able to listen to gospel messages. I greatly appreciate those of you that have donated funds. In doing so, you are propagating Almighty God's everlasting gospel around the world into the glory of our Lord Jesus, the soon coming Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in his wings unto those that fear him in his holy name. Talk about a glorious future, people. If you'd like to communicate, then please feel free to write. The email address is thelordbemagnified@gmail.com. And please indicate when you write what country you are from, what life is like where you live, and I would look forward to writing you back. One more time, the email address is thelordbemagnified@gmail.com. Great is our Lord Jesus Christ, and greatly to be praised. Take heart, friends. Our mighty and glorious King of Glory is inbound for his afflicted saints. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Maranatha!